Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, "Of the making of books, there is no end." How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. Well, I do have a few comments to read today. I should say maybe I just have one comment to read today. And it's always good to get these comments in. But this is from New England, and it says, "Dear JBL, we are currently really enjoying JBL. I have read all the books you featured since our last communication," and they had written to me really months ago, so they've read all the books, so I think that's a great sign. "We got a lot of insight into lifestyles and the results, both good and bad, and characters portrayed by the various authors. Some were very predictable. Others were a complete surprise to the end of the story. It's a little difficult to understand some of the old English writing, but they all had lessons to be learned about human nature. After I read Great Expectations, I also read A Tale of Two Cities." Now that was great. We haven't even done A Tale of Two Cities, so this really inspired someone to even read that one. "I had always wanted to read it, and since Barnes & Noble's had a $5 sale on classics this summer, I bought both. But I want to say, listening to the history of the King James Bible starting last week," so you can see that this comment really came in a few weeks ago, "Bible starting last week on JBL really gives you a good picture of what a lot of people went through to even publish or read the Bible under such dire persecution. It surely should help me to have more faith. Now, as this is God's instruction book, it surely deserves to be number one on the list." And what this person is talking about is the Western canon. And I think I've told you that Harold Bloom's canon has it as number three. But there's another canon that has it at number one. And so I agree with that listener that really should be number one on the Western canon. Well, in our last program, we did discuss how the King James Bible influenced Western society. Now, for today's program, I want to take a little different turn, and I actually want to go into the Bible with you. And what I'd like to do is I want to discuss with you how the Bible is organized. Now, I think I have to be honest, I began studying the Bible when I was about 21 or 22, and that's a long time ago. And really, I've spent my whole adult life studying the Bible, and it is an amazing book. It's a wonderful book, and I have to honestly say I'm in love with the book. So I think all of you know from listening to JBL, I love a lot of literature, but the Bible is really definitely unique in the history of bookmaking. Now, it is kind of fascinating. Over the years, I have had people, you know, discuss with me reading the Bible, and I know some have even said to me, "Leap, you know, you think you understand the Bible." They said, "Look, I've read it from cover to cover, and I've never understood it." And you know, I think that's a fair comment. There is a good reason why people who read the Bible from cover to cover don't understand it. And there's also, I'm going to say, there's a matter of attitude that you need to have to really understand the Bible as well. Now, interestingly enough, the Bible is not organized like any other book. And really, the Bible is not organized in a way that you would start reading at the front and read to the back. It's not like a novel, and it's really, really very different from that standpoint. But what is the Bible? Well, if you look up the meaning of the word Bible, and it's actually, the word Bible comes from a Greek word, biblia, and essentially the Greek word biblia means the books. And so essentially what the Bible is, it is a collection of books. And it's like a mini library when you carry it around. And I have in front of me here in the studio, I have a authorized King James Version wide margin. And it allows me to make notes in the book on either side of the scripture. And so I consider this book extremely valuable because it has my hours and hours of study in it. So if I study something and notice something I want to remember, I just write in the margins. I mean, it is okay to write in a Bible. And so, it is a sacred book, but it's not like an idol to be worshipped. It's something to be used. So I do have it right here in front of me. But the Bible is like a mini library. It has many different books. And in a previous program, I told you that kings have written for it. Farmers have written for it. Magistrates have written for it. You have a tax collector that wrote for it, even a doctor. And that was the writer Luke. He was a doctor. Matthew was a tax collector. There's been very, very many different authors. But it's still one book, and it still is the Word of God. Now, before the end of this program, I'm going to offer you a booklet by Herbert W. Armstrong called Proof of the Bible. And one of the things that I did years ago, this is over 40 years ago now, I did have to prove to myself that the Bible is the Word of God. And I did, I've said many times that I was raised Irish Catholic. And it's not that I want to disparage, another religion, but Catholics do not believe that the Bible is the sole source for religious authority or religious doctrine. And yet, if you really understand the Bible, it does demand that it be the sole source of authority and doctrine in your life. And so that's something that I had to prove to myself. And it's something that Herbert W. Armstrong, who is our namesake, he proved that to himself at a very young age as well. So if you look at the Bible, there's a special name for it, and it is a canonized book. And, we talk about the Western canon, and that's a list of books that, some authorities believe every really smart student or someone that really wants to be educated should be reading. But in terms of Bible canonization, what that means is that this is the authorized or the only books that God, and this is the high God in heaven, sanctions as holy books. And so it is tradition. We know that Ezra completed the canonization of the Old Testament. And we also know that the apostles Peter and John canonized the New Testament. Now, of course, John finished the canonization of the New. Peter had been executed, and John was the last, living apostle. And, of course, he wrote the letters of John and the book of Revelation late in the first century and before he died. And so it is the Old Testament books and the New Testament books that you have in the King James Version. And I'm going to say the authorized King James Version is they are the only canonized books of the Bible. Now, these are the scriptures, and they're only scriptures that are approved by God. Now, the Apocrypha is not part of the Holy Bible. It is not canonized. And it is something that the Catholic Church did add to the Bible, but they are not canonized. They are considered spurious books, and they're not profitable for, scripture or doctrine or anything like that. Now, as I said, the unique thing about Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, and again, that's where we take his name for the name of our college, and here we are at Herbert W. Armstrong College, and KPCG, and Herbert W. Armstrong College are sponsored by the Philadelphia Church of God. So there is a religious organization backing this and supporting it. But he did spend a lifetime studying the Bible. But one thing that's unique about Mr. Armstrong is that he did not go to a theological seminary. In other words, he didn't go to a Lutheran seminary or a Catholic seminary or a Presbyterian seminary. What he did, and he stated this many times, that he allowed Jesus Christ to teach him through the pages of the Bible. And so in other words, if you even look into the life of Paul, when Christ called Paul, when he struck him, off his donkey and blinded him, he is the one that taught Paul the scriptures. Paul didn't go to Peter. He didn't go to John. He didn't go to James. He didn't go to Jerusalem. In fact, Christ took him into Arabia for 3 years and then taught him what he needed to learn. And then he went up to Jerusalem, talked to Peter and John, and he realized that he knew exactly what they knew. And they realized that he knew what they knew. And so they knew that Christ personally taught him. And we should not be surprised about that. I mean, God is directly involved in all of, let's say, his people's lives. And, of course, he wants to be directly involved in your life as well. And, of course, the only caveat there is you have to want him to be involved in your life. But anyway, Mr. Armstrong's experience with the Bible is unique. And many times on the World Tomorrow program, that was both radio and on television, he said, look, don't believe me, believe your Bible. And so that's where so many people in this world, they get frustrated with the Bible. They can't understand it because, well, they're not really just to put forth the effort. And again, you're not going to really be able to understand the Bible if you try and read it from, you know, page one to the end of the book. You're not going to understand what it's all about. But it is interesting. Mr. Armstrong, you know, as he was growing up, he grew up in a certain religion. And he, just like many people in the world, including myself, you know, he grew up in a religion that appeared to be based on the Bible. And, you know, I grew up in a religion that I thought was based on the Bible. And then it was some Catholic priests in our senior high school year religion class that showed us that, well, some of Catholics' teachings were not in the Bible. And so that really got me to thinking. And, you know, I actually started reading the Bible. Then I got one out and I tried to understand it. But again, I couldn't understand it for a long time. But Mr. Armstrong was challenged by his wife on a point of doctrine, and that forced him into the study of the Bible. And, you know, she challenged him on what day was the Sabbath. And he said, well, it's obviously Sunday. Every other church in the world goes to church on Sunday. I'm not going to start going to church on Saturday. That's what he thought. Well, now, also at that same time, his sister-in-law told him that he was kind of dumb for not believing in the theory of evolution. So that put Mr. Armstrong, if you know anything about him, he would tell you himself that at that time he considered himself kind of a proud, vain individual. He was very successful in business. And so he was not going to take those challenges sitting down. So essentially what he did is he did study the books on evolution. He studied from Darwin and Huxley. But he also... he studied the Bible. He said, if I'm going to study about origins, I need to look at more than one book. I need to go to several sources to make sure I get a balanced view. Now, what he found out, to his great dismay, is that what the Bible taught about worship and what day to worship, he saw that it was radically different than what his religious organization taught. And then he also found out what the Bible had to say about the theory of origins was radically different than what Darwin and Huxley were talking about. So I'm going to go to an introduction that he writes to a book, and it's an incredibly important book that he wrote, and that the title of the book is Mystery of the Ages. And Mr. Armstrong completed this just before he died. And he does talk in here about, you know, his study of the Bible. And I just want to read to you just for a little bit from this book, because it really does, I think, it really did encourage me when I read this book. I think it would encourage all of us for this, at the same time. And those of you out there that maybe are struggling with understanding the Bible, I think it would help you as well. Now, you can write for this book, and I'll talk about this again at the end of the program, but you can write for Mystery of the Ages, or you can actually go to thetrumpet.com, and you can download your own copy. You can download a PDF for yourself, or at that point, you can request to have a book sent to you. If you do the PDF, you'll have to print it yourself. But if you request a copy, it'll be sent to you free, and all of our literature is free at thetrumpet.com, and no one will follow up. No one's going to call you. No one's going to say, hey, you know, come to church with us. That's not going to happen. We believe we've been freely given the truth, and we're going to freely give it to you. And once you get it, then it's your responsibility what you do with it. But I'm just going to read out of the introduction. He says, he's talking about what happened with his wife. He says, but my marriage was at stake on the question. I was forced into an in-depth study and research into the Bible and also into the theory of evolution, which was at that time rapidly gaining acceptance in the field of higher education. This is my in-depth study into the works of Darwin, Huxley, and Haeckel et al. Led me to question the authority of the Bible and even the existence of God. And so you know, that really is a challenge. And I know that even when I went to college, I, you know, ran into some of these things. And, you know, it does make you question certain things. Now, I'm just going to skip a large paragraph. It says, after many months of virtually night and day intensive study, the answers were revealed to me with proof that was positive and absolute. No longer was the existence of God taken carelessly for granted because I had always heard it or been taught it. I found absolute and positive proof of the existence of the supreme creator God, and also of the absolute authority of the Holy Bible as the Word of God, the revealed message and knowledge of God for mankind. Now that's critical. If you're really going to understand the Bible, if you really want to understand the Bible, you're going to have to prove it. You're going to have to prove it's the Word of God. You just can't accept what anyone says. And if you allow someone to tell you, well, the Bible is useless, I think that's a problem for you. Or if you have someone disparage the Bible, you shouldn't let anyone disparage the Bible. You should prove it to yourself. Now, Mr. Armstrong goes on, he says, I found the Bible to be a coded book with answers to the paramount mysteries confronting all humanity. And so what Mr. Armstrong was saying is that God really has put together the Bible in a certain way that unless you're willing to thoroughly investigate it and use it, really to get to know God and to begin to obey God, you're never going to understand. But God will break that code for you. The revelation of these mysteries was lost even to the Church of God, although the revelation of them has been preserved in the writings of the Bible. Why then has the world not clearly understood? He goes on to say, because the Bible was a coded book, not intended to be understood until our day in this latter half of the 20th century. I learned in this night and day study why it is the most misunderstood book, even though it is the world's bestseller. The full explanations or truth of any one subject is seldom made complete and clear in any one passage. Other portions, factors, or phases of the subject are usually contained in one or several other passages in other parts of the Bible, either in the Old or the New Testament. And so that is really clear. You need the entire Bible. You need to have the Old Testament and the New Testament if you're really going to understand a subject in the Bible. And, you know, so many people in modern Christianity believe you only need the New Testament and maybe the Psalms. And they feel like, well, that's going to bring them to Christ, but they're going to have very shallow understanding of what the Bible really teaches. He says, a full and true understanding of this subject is profitable only when these, perhaps several other passages scattered throughout the Bible are put together. He says, vistas of knowledge and understanding that have remained the chief mysteries of life to most people were opened to my astonished eyes and mind, but it is recorded in that book that in these very days in which our generation lives, the great mystery would be cleared, and indeed it was to my astonished mind. Now, the Apostle Paul talks about this in the book of Colossians, how the mystery was revealed, you know, the mystery of the ages was revealed to him, and that's really, you know, the mystery of the ages involves what's God's real purpose for man. You know, what is God doing on this earth? You know, where are we headed as, you know, a species or as, you know, a creation? And so, you know, that's all put together for us in the Bible. He says, I learned that the Bible is like a jigsaw puzzle, thousands of pieces that need putting together, and the pieces will fit together in only one way. Then the picture becomes crystal clear to the one willing to believe what God, our Creator, says. Now, that's one of the number one points, and I know I've had several very close friends of mine say that they just couldn't understand the Bible. And really, when it gets down to it, the reason they couldn't understand it is because they weren't willing to do what it says, and or they weren't willing to obey God. Now, if you wanted to really check up on Mr. Armstrong, really the whole world is deceived about the Bible. You can read that in Revelation 12 and verse 9. And, many so-called Christian churches teach false doctrine. And, why are they doing that? Well, Revelation 12:9 shows you why they're doing it. Now, Mr. Armstrong said to get the truth on any one doctrine, you have to go and you have to look in all of the Bible, the Old and New Testament. And the book of Isaiah 28:10 tells you that. And it says very clearly, the Bible is put together here a little and there a little. You have to be able to go to different verses. And so if you're not willing to do that, you're never going to understand the Bible. And so that's really important. And again, we offer this book to you free. It's Mystery of the Ages by Herbert W. Armstrong. And if you go to thetrumpet.com, you can either request it be sent to you or you can download a copy of it. Now, Mr. Armstrong was very... could just teach very simply, and he said that basically the Bible has about three main sections, and he said it's basically history, and it's history of one people, it's the history of Israel, and so if you want to understand the Bible history, you have to understand it's the history of Israel. But if you remember last time I offered you the United States and Britain in prophecy, and that book reveals, or and it's really from the pages of the Bible, where modern Israel is today, or what nations today comprise modern Israel. And it was a shock to me when I learned this, that the United States and Britain are the two main nations of Israel, that we have what they call the birthright. Now, that's a technical term from the Bible, but once you put all the pieces together, it becomes really clear that, and when you read in the prophecies about Israel, it's really talking about the United States and Britain in prophecy. And of course, Judah, or the little tiny nation of Israel, is actually the state of Judah, or the tribe of Judah. And so those things are absolutely fascinating. But here's basically a sevenfold division of the Bible. Now, understand this, there are 22 books in the Old Testament. Now, you have to understand that some of those Old Testament books were really one book at one time, and when people split the Bible up into chapters, they also split up the books. So Joshua and Judges were one book. First and Second Samuel were one book. First and Second Kings were one book. Ezra and Nehemiah are one book. If you look at First and Second Chronicles, that was one book. So in the Old Testament, there are 22 books. But in the New Testament, there are 27 books. And so that adds up to the number 49. Now, what's interesting about that, if you know anything about Bible numbers, the number 7 is considered a complete number. So if you take the number 49, which is 22 Old Testament books and 27 New Testament books, you get the number 49. You divide that by 7, you get 7. So 7 times 7 is 49. So it shows that it is the complete the complete Word of God. And so the canonization actually supports that. Now, here are the seven divisions. The first division is the law. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's the law. Second division are the prophets. And there are former prophets, there are latter prophets, and then there are the minor prophets. Now, the minor prophets were considered one book. Joshua and Judges was considered one book. First and Second Samuel were considered one book. First and Second Kings were considered one book. Ezra and Nehemiah is considered one book. in First Ascetic and Chronicles, and that's a different division, but they were considered one book. Now, there's the third division is the Psalms, and of course that, or the writings, and you have Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, Esther, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, First and Second Chronicles. They're considered the writings, and they're really the wisdom books. The next division takes us to the New Testament. That's the Gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's the book of Acts, which is really the history, the early history of the New Testament church. So that was division 5. Then division 6 is the epistles. You have the epistles of Paul. That's Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy. You have Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews. So those are the epistles of Paul. Then you have the general epistles, which are James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. And then your seventh division of the Bible is the book of Revelation. But Mr. Armstrong really encapsulated all those seven divisions and said basically the Bible is history of Israel, is prophecy, and it has doctrine. And so that's how Mr. Armstrong explained it. Well, I just want to let you know that I'm running out of time for today. And next time what I want to do is I want to discuss with you probably one of the most interesting books of the Old Testament that addresses the topic of why humans suffer. So remember, you can obtain a copy of Herbert Armstrong's fascinating books, The Mystery of the Ages and Proof of the Bible, by going to thetrumpet.com. And again, remember, all of our literature is free to you with no follow-up. Please write me any comments you may have to jbl@pcog.org. You can follow JBL on Twitter at JBLiterature1. You can also follow JBL on Facebook. Simply search for Just the Best Literature. And remember, you can leave me a comment at Facebook. So until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.